Hi, Daniel. So in previous devotions, we talked about what we're missing when we aren't able to assemble together. Now I want to sort of draw your attention to something that you shouldn't be missing, or whether you can assemble here in church or not. There are some things that you should still have. And so our devotion is going to be from a massively important text in the Old Testament. It's from Deuteronomy 6. Now, I'm going to ask you to stick with me because it's going to take me a minute or two to get where we're going. But ultimately, I want you to see the love of God and the dedication to His Word are not limited to the act of corporate worship. Those should still be with you right now. So, in the book of Deuteronomy, it records the final messages of Moses to the Hebrews who are headed to the Promised Land. And They've already been delivered from Egypt. They've already received the word of God in the form of what we call the law of Moses, right? The regulations of righteousness and holiness given by God as they were encamped there at the base of Mount Sinai. But now they're not going to live forever at Mount Sinai. They're going to have to embrace the word of God in sort of everyday life. And so Moses is encouraging their devotion to God and to his word. And in Deuteronomy 6, starting at verses 4 through 9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and upon your gates." Now, I actually want to focus in on verses 6 through 9, but of course we can't just pass up verses 4 and 5, which were often used by Jesus in his ministry. Because understanding and obeying verses 4 and 5 is the greatest commandment of the entire Old Testament, according to Jesus. The Lord our God is one Lord. And it's interesting how that stresses both the singularity of God and the plurality of his people. He is one God. There is no other God, but he can be worshiped by all those who would love him as their God. He is our God, and we're called to love him with every fiber of our being. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our might, our whole being. Everything that we have is to abide in that love of all that God is. So in Matthew, Jesus says this is the first and greatest commandment. And even those who argued with Jesus in the Gospels didn't argue with that. They knew it to be true. To this day, verses 4 and 5 get repeated twice daily, at least twice daily, by Jews as a prayer called the Shema. So Jesus often used this passage when he was approached by a Pharisee asking which was the greatest commandment. This was his answer. And another time he was approached by a lawyer asking, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus took him right here. The character of God's people, those with eternal life, are that we love God with everything we are, all of our heart and soul and strength. Now, the Jewish people generally stop the Shema prayer after verse 5, but it's clear Moses was not done. You have to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, but to love God, you have to know God. And to know God, you must, as Jesus also continually said, have his word abide in you. So look again at verses 6 through 9. "These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You'll teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates." All right, so here's what I wanted to get to. You have to have the Word of God in your heart. This is an identifying characteristic of God's people. This is not a description of a single event, a single time and place. It's a pattern for our lives. Moses isn't telling the Hebrews, you know, make sure to read the word on the Sabbath, or the command isn't for Christians to go to church every week and get a dose of preaching. Those are good things to do, but loving God with your whole being demands more. It demands that the word of God be in your heart always. When you look at verses 7 through 9, it describes the word should be so primary that it's foremost in what you teach your children. It should be what you talk about when you're sitting in your house, or when you're walking or driving down the road, when you're going to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning. In verse 8, the word should be tied to your hand and set before your eyes. In verse 9, it's like it's written on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, it's funny, the legalistic mind reads this and takes it so literally that they made little boxes called phylacteries, and they tied them to their foreheads and to their wrists, put little scrolls inside the boxes, little scrolls of the Shema and other passages. These pictures here from the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary, Jesus chastise them by saying they even made broad their phylacteries. They made their forehead boxes bigger, or added long strips to their hand boxes so that they would appear even more righteous, even more obvious. But what is this passage saying, really? You know, the one true God is your God. If you love him with your entire being, you'll hide his words in your heart. You'll teach that to your children, not just at special moments set aside for learning, but it's such a part of you that whether you're sitting in your house or headed down the road or laying down at night or waking up in the morning, the word of God is primary. Your love of God and dedication to his word are shown in the actions of your hands. It's always at the very forefront of your vision. It's written on the door of your house or on your gate. So the word of God is kind of like this divine graffiti that just covers every part of your life. Folks, we should not have lost that. Well, I do believe that the loss of worshiping together is something that we should feel intensely. We should really grieve the fact that we're not able to do that. We've not lost the love of God. We've not lost the word of God in our lives. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. We should love him with our whole lives, with our entire being at every point in time.